and welcome to worship this morning. Just a couple of intimations. Our groups are all back on. The Guild are actually moving to the afternoon for January and February. I did mention it last week. The 26th, you'll see on the intimations, the afternoon session is a Scottish afternoon, and I think you're getting haggis pie or crackers and cheese. If anybody's interested in attending that, if they see Christine with details, so that she can order the necessary food. That's it. The joint Kirk session meets tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock in the large hall. So that's Kirstiers, Carnwath and Forth St Paul's sessions. It's the vote for the minister and the vote for the union. So any trustees who want to have a vote, they have to be in attendance tomorrow for that. The vote by the congregational members will happen on the 8th of February, but I'll make an announcement about that next week. And if the elders could maybe stay behind just for a couple of minutes, that would be appreciated. Everything else is on your orderly service. Thank you.
Good morning, and a very warm welcome. We'll begin our service this morning with the responsive psalm, which is the first 5 verses of Psalm 40, and it will be up on the screen. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Amen. Let us worship God. Let us sing together from the church hymnary in the words of hymn 127. O worship the King. Hymn 127.
Thank you.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O God, we have come together to turn to you, as your people have done across the ages, with Christians over the centuries and across the world, with all your people of all places and all times. We have come to worship you. We bring with us everything we are, our gifts and our talents, all that we do well and do for good. We bring also our weaknesses and our sorrows and every way in which we fail. We come in the hope and expectation that we shall find you here in this company of people, as the scriptures are read and interpreted, and as the music and the words touch our spirits. We pray that as we learn to follow Jesus, your Son, we may be saved from all that harms us, that we may become the people you made us to be, that we may find strength to do good in the world, so that your will may be done. God the Creator, we praise you. God in Christ, we turn to you. God the Comforter, we call upon you. Blessed be God forever. O God of justice, we have often heard your commandments, for they are your gift to us. Yet, too many times we have failed to live by them, and for this we are sorry and ask for your forgiveness. We have not loved you wholeheartedly. We have failed to love our neighbours as ourselves. We have not loved our enemies or blessed those who do us harm. We live in an unjust world where many are hungry and there is little peace. Lord, have mercy on us. O God, your heart is full of mercy. May we hear and trust your words to each of us. Your sins are forgiven. May we forgive each other and forgive ourselves. Thanks be to God. And we now join together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever. Amen. Morning, girls. How are we today? Good. It's nice to see you here again. Is there anybody in the world that you'd really like to meet? Anybody you can think of? An actor, a singer, sports person? No? Not think of anyone? Well, a few years ago now, I was taking a service in a church in Stonehouse, and there was a retired football player there. And when I had been young and used to go and watch the football, he had been one of my heroes, and I was really, really excited to meet him and to shake his hand after the service. And when I got home, I was so excited that I'd met this former player that I couldn't wait to tell my wife and kids about it. Unfortunately, my wife's not the slightest bit interested in football. And the kids were too young to know who he was. But if you meet somebody that famous, folk are usually very keen to go and tell other people the news that they've met someone famous. They get excited about it and they can't wait to tell other people. And to tell their friends and family about them. And it's the same about Jesus. When people met Jesus, they couldn't wait to tell other people about him. And in the Bible reading that we'll be sharing with the grown-ups once you go off to Sunday school this morning, tells us about the first people who ever met Jesus and then went on to tell lots of other people about them. And one of them was John the Baptist, whom I'm sure you'll have heard about. And he was one of the first people to realise who Jesus was and how important Jesus was. And John was so excited about this that he pointed Jesus out to other people and told them that they were looking at the Lamb of God, which was a way of saying that Jesus was very important. And they, the people that John talked about Jesus with, they all ran after Jesus. And when they met him, they too understood who he was. And they went out telling others about him. Jesus, meeting Jesus, was something that they didn't want to keep to themselves. And they couldn't wait to tell others who Jesus was and how good Jesus was. And we too, all of us here in the church, should be just as eager, just as excited to tell people the good news about Jesus and the joy and hope that Jesus gives to people. It really is news worth sharing. It's good to let other people know about God's love. And there are lots of ways we can do it. We can use their words. We can talk to people about Jesus. We can tell people about Jesus. But we can also share it through our actions, by doing kind things and just demonstrating that we care about people. It may just start with a few people, but it can spread to more and more until, after a period of time, lots and lots of people have heard the great news about Jesus that we have. Now let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the love of Jesus. Help us to remember the great news of his resurrection. Help us to share that good news with one another and to be excited about sharing it. Thank you that we too can be disciples. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the love you have for us, God. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And before you go next door, we'll have hymn 164, God Gave Me Eyes. Hymn 164. Let us listen to the word of God.
This morning, and the first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 7, the servant of the Lord. Listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me, From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword in the shadow of the hand he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due to me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel, to whom he has despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of the rulers. Kings, you will see you and stand you. Princess will see and bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. The second reading this morning comes from John chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. John testifies about Jesus. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he has came before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave his testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him, and I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit came down and remain is one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.'" The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed. Jesus, turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher. "Where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of God. You will be called Cephas," which was translated as Peter. Amen.
Thank you very much. Our next hymn is 509. Jesus Calls Us Over the Tumult. Hymn 509.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, we pray, speak in this place, in the calming of our minds and in the longing of our hearts, by the words of my lips and the thoughts we form. Speak, O Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. The election for the Scottish Parliament is due on the 7th of May. I know that's because we've already had election leaflets pushed through our door from some of the parties. And over the next few months, the political parties in Scotland will be spending substantial sums of money on advertising and campaigning, trying to win our votes so that they will have enough MSPs to form the next Scottish government. They will be trying to capture media attention with soundbites and photo opportunities, celebratory endorsements, and carefully staged public appearances, all intended to get their message across. The message that they're the one to trust, that they're the one who can make a difference, that they're the one who can solve our problems, that they're the people to be the next Scottish government. 2,000 years ago, in a reading from the Gospel, we come across another campaign, another attempt to get a message across, a much simpler campaign where people simply shared what they knew, each from their own experience, each as God had given it to them. There was John, the prophet, a leader in his own right with his own followers, his own people, his own disciples. And as we heard, John pointed to Jesus and told his followers, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." Then there was Andrew, a fisherman, who, following John's instructions, turned to Jesus and listened to him. Andrew immediately sensed that Jesus was someone special, someone with much good to share. So Andrew went and told his brother Simon about him, saying, "We have found the Messiah." John and Andrew shared what they knew. They shared what they believed. They shared what they hoped. John was ready to let his own ministry fade into the background so that Jesus' ministry could become more prominent. And Andrew, though he was untutored and unlearned, just a fisherman, and he had just met Jesus, he immediately went and told his own brother Simon about him and how Jesus was the promised one, the one that everyone in Israel was waiting for, the Messiah. Without John and without Andrew, and without so many others like them, with their willingness to speak, their willingness to tell, their willingness to teach, their willingness to share Jesus with others, the church as we know it would not be here today. The Christian faith as we know it would not exist. The family of God would be much diminished, and the world would not know its ultimate destiny or realise its ultimate hope. John the Baptist and Andrew, and later Simon Peter and Philip and Nathaniel and John and Luke and Paul and all the rest, they found something. They discovered something. They learned something. Something that was important to them. But they didn't keep it to themselves. They didn't keep it as their own little secret. No, they went and told others about it. They shared the good news with everyone they knew, with everyone they met. They told the people around them. They told their friends. They told their family. They told their neighbours. And some of them travelled so that they could take the message to people that they had never met before, so that they could tell people in distant lands and places all about Jesus. And yet, these simple, unlearned people were the people that Jesus entrusted with the most important news that the world had ever heard. Who were these people that Jesus trusted with his message? He didn't use the equivalent of a first century advertising campaign. He didn't set up a political machine to get across his message. He didn't solicit donations or build up a campaign fund. He didn't try to persuade the priests in Jerusalem of the righteousness of his cause and have them endorse him from the pulpit. He didn't, like political parties in the United States do, spend hundreds of millions of dollars to get the message across. Jesus didn't do any of that. Instead, he chose ordinary people, ordinary folk like you and me, to be his disciples, to be his messengers, to be the ones who were to teach his ways when he was gone. They were the ones he trusted to spread the message that he had come into the world to deliver. The people that Jesus chose were not superheroes. They were not in any way remarkable. They were ordinary, ordinary folk like you and me. There was nothing out of the ordinary about any of them. In fact, some of them were not even ordinary in the eyes of the powerful of Jesus' day. Some were outcasts, men and women who the religion of the day would not dream of associating with, like Matthew the tax collector. Some were poor, uneducated, rough living. Some were fishermen. One of them was even a revolutionary who wanted to overthrow Rome, whose empire and legions could squeeze the life out of Israel just as quickly as they could put up a cross and execute anyone who threatened the public peace. And of course, some of them were women, women who followed Jesus all of his days. Some were innocents like Mary, others anxious like Martha. Some were prostitutes, and some had been caught in adultery, and some had had many husbands, and others were not considered fit for decent company for many years. And yet, these were the people Jesus trusted to spread the gospel of salvation, just as he trusts us too to do it. And Jesus was not disappointed. It's worth thinking about these disciples, these first followers, these people, for they were no different from we are today. They were, as I said, extremely ordinary. The Bible records them with an almost brutal honesty. Some of them misunderstood Jesus. Some of them interpreted his words to suit themselves. Some of them thought about their own glory and honour first. And some of them betrayed him and deserted him in his final hours. And yet, these were the people that Jesus gave the keys of heaven and earth to, saying to them, "Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And despite all their weaknesses, despite all their failings, despite their ordinariness, what they achieved was remarkable. And they did it. They told all that it was, that it was not their doing. They told everyone that it was through the power of God, the power that had raised Jesus from the dead, that this was the power that was working through them. They always gave credit to Jesus and to God. They did not look to their own glory. Jesus trusted them. Jesus believed in them. And today, Jesus trusts us, believes in us. He believes in you and me and all of us sitting here today. The first disciples, the first followers of Jesus, had no special qualifications, no special training, no special abilities, and yet they spread the message of the gospel. They told the story of Jesus. And it's the same with us. We don't need any special qualifications to be witnesses to Jesus. We don't need anything except our conviction that everyone needs God and that God has come for everyone in Christ Jesus. Spreading good news is natural. If something good has happened to us, generally we want to tell our friends and family about it. A new baby in the family, promotion at work, good exam results, an enjoyable holiday, a new car. People generally don't hesitate to share good news. They tell people about it. We tell people about it. When we have something we want to say, we usually find a way to say it. It's the same with new grandparents or new parents. They have no problem at all talking about the new baby, the new member of the family. So we, as followers of Jesus, we who have such good news to share, should have no problems in speaking about the wonder that God in Jesus brings into our lives. We don't need to go on a special course to testify about God's love or how to be witnesses to Jesus. We don't need a Bible degree or a certificate in theology to share the good news. We just have to want to. We just have to want to share what we know, what we value. And if we want to share, and even if we don't want to, but decide to do it anyway, as an act of obedience and of faith, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will help us, that God will give us the words we need. John the Baptist, he was in a place and in a situation where he could simply point to Jesus and say to his own followers, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he did. So simple. But then Jesus was used to standing out in the crowd and was used to speaking out in front of people. Andrew, on the other hand, Andrew is significant. Not just because he's the patron saint of Scotland. Andrew's an object lesson for all of us. Because Andrew began where he was. He began at home with his brother Simon. He told Simon quite simply that he had found the Messiah. And then, to avoid confusion, to make things clear, Andrew did something both simple and profound. Instead of trying to say more, instead of trying to explain things, to talk more, he took Simon to meet Jesus. He took Simon to where Jesus was to be found. And that's what it's all about getting folk to the place where they will meet Jesus with us. And it's something all of us can do. We can get people to the place where Jesus is to be found, where Jesus can then issue his own personal invitation to come and see. We can get them to that place if we but start opening our mouths and talking about what we have found for ourselves and what it means to us personally, just as parents or grandparents speak of their child or grandchild. Jesus invites us, as he invited Andrew and the other disciples, to come and see where he is staying. He invites us into his home, into his presence, into his life. And Jesus shares that life with us. And we're invited to pass on that invitation to other folk, to other people, to the people we meet every day of the week, the people we see every day. We have something to share, and it's something well worth sharing. And if we share for the joy of sharing, not for some kind of legal reason, if we share because we want to share, because we think it's a good thing to do, then we will know what to say and how to say it. It will come from inside us. It will come from our hearts. And as we share, other people will share with us. The lesson of Christ concerning this is, the more we give it away, the more we share it, the more we have. It's remarkable stuff. And it is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, from the very first moment that Jesus began his ministry, from the moment John pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Andrew went to his brother and said, "Simon, I have found the Messiah," and then took him to meet him. And it gives shape and form and substance to the words of Isaiah, "I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth." That my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this preaching of his word, now and evermore. Hymn 542, "Lord, speak to me that I may speak." We worship God in the offering. Let us pray. Loving God, we bring you these our gifts in thanksgiving for all that you have given us, asking that we may be servants of others and witnesses to your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And Jim will now lead us in our prayers for others.
Today's prayer for others is taken from the Church of Scotland's status for Sunday, with a few alterations. God, who entered into your creation, who experienced birth, death, and all of life in between, and came to bring life and fullness for all, we pray that we might become your unified body, working and worshipping in the world as your everyday saints. Equip us with the wisdom to know how to respond to each of the causes and concerns that we bring to you now, often weigh heavily on our hearts. We bring the concerns of our planet, of extinction of animal species, of rapidly melting ice caps, of stronger hurricanes and wilder fires. Give us wisdom to respond, to hold those in power to account, and to play our part in the necessary change to live as your everyday saints. We bring a concern for peace in a world driven with violent conflict, of decades and centuries-long wars, of bloodshed and senseless death. Give us the insight and courage to always choose the way of peace, to be ambassadors of reconciliation and live as your everyday saints. We bring our love for our wider community, for all generations and cultures that make us who we are, of which this church is a part. Give us the confidence and joy to share our delight and love for you, for the thriving and flourishing of all, and to live as your everyday saints. Hear too the unspoken prayers of our hearts. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our final hymn this morning before we return to the world is hymn 286, Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord. Hymn 286. Let us go out into the world as bringers of love, as makers of peace, as messengers of hope, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all this day, henceforth, and evermore.